Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
So this upcoming episode is all about how to reduce inflammation in our bodies, specifically using breath techniques and breath work. But as we know about inflammation in the body, it can be caused by so many different things, especially what we eat. What we eat and when we eat more processed foods, that can really cause lots of inflammation in the bodies. So one of Jen and my favorite recommendations is to make sure you're eating whole and real food ingredients, kind of like the ingredients they use in Paleo Valley snacks. They have 100% grass-fed beef in any of their beef sticks. And why this is really important is because it has a much higher ratio of omega-3 fatty acids to the omega-6 fatty acids, which can be much more inflammatory. So the beef sticks can cause a lot less inflammation than your conventionally produced beef sticks that you find out there. Also, they have these superfood protein bars that, again, have a bunch of superfood, whole food ingredients that can, again, reduce that inflammation. So if you're looking to get some snacks like this in your kitchen and in your cupboard, go to the link in the show notes and use code OPTIMAL to get 15% off and be more aware of what you're putting in your body and how that might be impacting the inflammation that you create. Now, let's go into the episode and find out how breath can affect that too. So we're going to dive into another PT pearl. And this is something that Jen and I really connected on early on in how we treat people, in how we treat ourselves, and in how we use breath work to really balance our system and just learn more about where we tend to rest and how our system tends to react to the environment around us. We're just going to show you some basics about breath work and how to understand kind of what it does in your system.
Yes, I think that's what's most important. Breathwork gets thrown around a lot. Like there's so many different types of breathwork within different practices like yoga or people who do ice training. There's certain types, deep diving. So there's just so many different types and practices, methodologies around breathwork. And I think what is most important is just understanding the basics, first of all, so that you can actually integrate it into your body, understanding what you're doing and why. Like, why would we integrate anything unless we understand why it's doing it? Like, some people will do it and feel the effect and be like, oh, okay, I understand that I should add this in because I feel it. But it's one thing to feel it. It's another thing to actually understand it and be empowered with the knowledge. And that's what we're trying to bring you today with breathwork.
Yeah, so to dive right in, why do we breathe and kind of what messages is that sending our system based on maybe how we react to the environment around us?
So immediately we do want to touch on, you know, our autonomic nervous system. So we have this automatic nervous system, you can say. Mm-hmm. And that is where we've probably heard the terms parasympathetic, sympathetic. And we used to think, again, autonomic, meaning automatic. We have no control over this. This is just what your body does and it reacts in different situations. We have now studied and learned a lot more about the body as we continue to learn. Like we might even change some of the things that we say as we continue to learn, right? But right now we understand that based on how we use the breath, we can control into different states. So I can drive into and ramp up into my sympathetic, this fight, flight, freeze type of place, or I can drive down and turn off that state and tap onto more of a parasympathetic rest, relax, and digest state.
Yeah, no, and that's just the way that, again, automatic or autonomic nervous system, I like to say that there is a portion that's automatic. Mm-hmm. And there is this thing inside of us that reacts based on environmental stimuli, whatever it is that gets thrown at us. And a lot of that comes from how we're programmed as beings, both mm-hmm. how we learned early in life and different like inherent things that we take on from our parents or different genetic factors that just make us want to react to different things. Like some people find snakes really scary and they go, and we have this initial scared response where mm-hmm. some other people will see that and not have that reaction. But beyond that reaction, there's a way that we can thoughtfully, mindfully respond and then kind of control volitionally or voluntarily control that autonomic nervous system.
Which is so incredibly important and why we want to bring it to you, because especially as it relates to pain, chronic pain especially, so think of anything lasting over 3 months, over 6 months, something that continuously, recurrently comes back over and over and over again throughout the years. Well, if we're in a more sympathetic driven place, we're automatically telling our body that it needs to be on guard more. When it is on guard more, it is automatically releasing more stress responses, more cortisol. And so if we're driving up and ramping into that sympathetic tone more, we are going to have more inflammation, just a part of our body. And it's, inflammation isn't bad. It's a necessary process within the body. What we want to avoid, or potentially avoid, is that chronic state of inflammation that continues to come back over and over again. And Dom and I have both worked with clients in person over and over again, where we can get this pain response to automatically shift. No matter, like, I've had people crying on my table because they're like, I don't understand how this back pain of 5 years has suddenly disappeared off of what you're doing. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything. You are. And that's where it becomes so empowering to use these tools and turn off that initial stress situation that you have underlying you, possibly for a long period of time, and give you the tools to actually reduce that inflammation, reduce that sensitivity to pain, and reduce the way that your nerves are responding to your brain and sending signals that you're in pain.
Yeah, breath is super difficult to actually research well, too, because everybody has a slightly different response to some of these things, and everybody has a different resting and initial state. And again, when we talk about our ability to change the way we breathe and affect this autonomic nervous system, we impact how almost every system in our body is operating, from our heart to our veins and our blood pressure, to the pain sensors, to the way that we stimulate our T cells. We can activate just our natural T cells by doing different breath techniques, the way we produce blood cells, everything, lymphatic system. So we can go on and on. And that can be through a thing, if you want to look more into that, called the polyvagal theory.
Yes.
We should talk to Jill about getting some studies that we can link up to that.
So she would talk about this all day.
Oh gosh, she'll be on our podcast eventually for sure. But so that's again where, just through voluntarily changing the breath, we can impact the way our client is thinking, feeling, the pain they're perceiving, the way that they're open to maybe receiving the treatment we're then going to give them, or the manual therapy we're then going to give them, that helps you develop trust and rapport between someone, or even within a relationship, you know, whether it's just a friend or somebody that you're with in your partnership. So many powerful things. We were actually doing a little dive into some research and just how they're studying how different practices implement breath treatment. And one of the cool conclusions that I saw was that someone said, if we don't address how someone's breathing when they come into our office, we may be allowing them to sit there in this fight or flight state while we're presenting information to them, and just their openness and readiness to receive any of that may be completely gone. So maybe addressing a little bit how someone's breathing with them for about 4 or 5 breaths, it just develops that connection between you and a provider, or you and another person, that's going to allow you to have a much more optimal experience with each other.
And that's why him and I do it together as well, as a partnership, because it's so incredibly connecting. But we want to give you the actual tools now as to how you can create this within your body, right? Because it's one thing, again, to talk about the breath. And granted, even if we're talking about it, hopefully you're like starting to even just see, like, how am I breathing right now, even as I'm talking about it, which is key. Because if we could even just start to bring awareness to what your breath is doing, you're already doing it. Okay.
Absolutely.
You're already winning. But let's go over it, like a basic breath cycle. So if we look at the inhalation phase and the exhalation phase, that's how we breathe, right? Well, now someone scares you. What did he just do? He just did an inhalation phase and hold. So all that did is ramp up everything that he's doing in the inhalation. What does that also do? Fight, flight, freeze. So that is automatically your sympathetic state. Just think of that intense inhalation, that hold on the inhalation, as that sympathetic. What we're also doing, your body gets really tense and tight because it goes into a guarding protective mode. And so now think about breathing in this inhalation phase and rising the shoulders up to your ears and telling your body you're stressed over and over again, of course, everything is going to get tight. And especially when we're in pain and our body is like, this is bad, I'm tensing up against it, what does it do? So if we can start to combat that with now thinking about more of the exhalation, think about going to get a massage and everything just, right? So it when we just are able to just in that little phase, if I can just think longer exhalation, shorter inhalation, I automatically start to shift things.
Okay, so that's great and dandy and all. We know what the parasympathetic and what the sympathetic is and when that's kind of activating during the different portions of breath. I also hear all this stuff about diaphragmatic breathing. People talk about belly breathing and what exactly that means, how we know we're doing it right. And then do you want to show a little example of how we can bring awareness to where we're sitting with our breath if we're in more of a parasympathetic or sympathetic state?
100%. I think the other thing to quickly note on too is that we're not necessarily like, oh, if I'm in a more exhalation state, I'm now in my parasympathetic. It's just that as we extend that exhale, we actually turn off our on switch. Our on switch is that sympathetic. So if you just think about that, I am turning off that alert switch, right? And I'm turning it off with a long exhale. And I'm so automatically, what am I going to switch into?
Parasympathetic.
If I'm just down regulating that sympathetic. So that's really what we're doing, is we're turning off that on switch. And I think that's a really good distinction just for people to remember.
Yeah, you'll hear a lot of people these days talk about down regulation.
Yeah.
Down regulation. And that's just kind of a buzzword these days for turning off the sympathetic, because we in this world love to live up here in this sympathetically driven fight or flight world, and turning, you know, down regulating into that more parasympathetic zone.
Yes.
All right. So what are we doing?
Okay. So you're going to come to the middle here a little bit.
Center stage.
So I am using what's called a rock floss from Rock Tape. Honestly, you could use a TheraBand. What I like about this is that it's thicker, and so it kind of is tackier to you, and so it'll stay in place. And what we're going to do is we're going to find the low rib cage on him, and we're going to wrap we're going to wrap the band right around his low rib cage. Not too tight. I mean, we want him to breathe, but we just want him to feel feedback.
Not like boa constrictor or 1970s corset level, but like just a nice tight little spandex or something. Didn't know where I was going with that one.
All right, so getting that around.
You just like the hug me.
Well, that too. Okay, how does that feel?
Good. Snug as a bug in a rug.
All right, so when we're thinking about actually activating and being able to use our diaphragm rests right underneath the rib cage, the low rib cage. So especially when we're thinking about diaphragmatic breathing, what we should be thinking about is expanding from that low rib cage first, and then that will expand into the belly, into the chest, into other areas. But we don't want to necessarily just be thinking about belly breathing, because then we're not getting the expansion from that low rib cage. Mm-hmm. You want to say anything about it?
No, I want you to keep talking me through this. What the heck am I doing here?
All right. So I like to put people in a good position, first of all, of how we're going to align the rib cage over the pelvis so that we can actually get that rib cage to expand. Great. Because if I'm in a hunched over position, usually where I'm going to breathe into is into my chest. Or if I am in a super extended position, again, where am I going to breathe into is more of my chest. So what I like to say is kind of having exactly how he is, the knees lower than the hips is so ideal here. Okay. And this is for those listening on the podcast too. I just want to note that we're showing this on YouTube.
Yep.
But I'm just going to walk you through it as if you're listening. So if you're sitting in a chair, it's a lot easier to make sure that the knees are lower than the hips. Okay. And what this automatically does is you're able to find your sit bones, your ischial tuberosities, a lot better, which are those big prominent bones that you'll kind of feel. So if they kind of stick out and you don't really feel them anymore, or if they go away, if you come back, find right where you can find that sweet spot right on top. And automatically that kind of starts to align the spine. Oh, crazy. Okay. And then relax into the upper body and the shoulders. Now, what I want you to focus on as you take a breath in, I want you to think about taking a breath in into this band that's right around the low rib cage. If you don't have a tight band, what you could do is just wrap a blanket or a towel right around your low rib cage area. Give it a little squeeze. And as you take a breath in, think of like a 4-second inhale, pushing pressure into this band on the sides, particularly. We always forget about these sides. And then take a really slow breath out for about 6 to 8 seconds, maybe even 10 seconds. Don't force yourself. So for some people, this is going to be a hard practice, is to get a really long exhale. So we could just go into like a 4-second inhale, 4-second exhale. Totally fine. Okay. We're going to get into box breathing in just a second too. So what this is doing here is I'm teaching him, by using this compressive force on the rib cage, I'm teaching his body how to respond against that compression and open up. It's like having the TheraLoop around your knees. You know how a lot of people do banded squats around the knees, and we're pulling the knees in together and teaching the knees how to pull out so that the glutes work. It's the same thing around the rib cage. So we can use this concept in other places. We can even go ahead and put him into quadruped. How about you get on your hands and knees? Okay, so we can even go in quadruped, we can even go into cat cow. And every time he's in cat cow, I want him to think as he takes a breath in, he's expanding from this around this band. And as he takes a breath out, he's feeling this band compress. And he can move through different positions, okay? He can go fast, he can go slow, he can go into different regular movements that he might want. And then he can go into rotation. So even coming down into child's pose, and then bringing the elbows underneath you, in this child's pose, putting one hand behind your head. And what he's going to do, he's going to take a breath into this band as he rotates up. And then take a breath out as he comes down. And actually, taking a breath in, we have a lot of intercostals between the rib cage as well. So taking a breath in actually helps to expand and get a little bit more motion in that rotation. Usually the thought process, again, is the other way. We want to exhale to gain more rotation. But actually, for the rib cage and around these muscles that we want to start to open up and activate, we want to inhale as we go around. Okay, now coming onto your back. One of the things that we're also now going to just talk about is regular box breathing. So for box breathing, think about it exactly as that, a box. So if we're going to do like a 4-second inhale, we're going to think of the pressure around this rib cage coming in, and then a 2-second hold at the top, turning on that parasympathetic, and then taking a nice 4-second exhale, turning off that sympathetic, taking a 2-second pause. And then he'll just keep going through that. So, or you could do 4-second, 4-second, 4-4. Sometimes holding for 4 seconds is a lot harder for the system. So I like to do just a 2-second hold, about a 4-second inhale, 2-second hold, 4-second exhale, 2-second hold. What you're doing is you're automatically bringing your attention into your body, into your breath, into this rib cage. We're getting the diaphragm to learn how to expand again. And if we want to really think about strengthening that diaphragm, getting that better action, we actually want to take about a 4-second inhale, about an 8-second exhale through the mouth. So we want to think about pursed lips as we exhale, because this way we're really getting into like blowing out a lot of candles, and we're actually helping to kind of put pressure onto that air as we push everything out. So we get these intercostals working, we get the transverse, and we get the pelvic floor to all kind of program and work together. And when we get this full around the rib cage, around the abdominal area, and even down into the pelvis, then that's how we start to really work everything together and get this pressure system to work better. When we can get this working better, we get everything on the outside working better. I promise you, your shoulders are going to start to free up, your hips are going to start to free up, your knees, your back pressure, all of this pressure around you can start to release just by coming back to this basic, basic breath pattern.
And with that pursed lip breathing, it's kind of similar to having the band around my rib cage, where this provides the resistance for my diaphragm on the way in. You know, as the pursed lip is also providing more resistance to that diaphragm on the way out, and that complex of diaphragm, pelvic floor, and our abdominal muscles.
Yeah. A couple other techniques and tools that you can use, humming on the way out as you exhale. So him and I, especially when we do breath work together, mm-hmm. we like to get into humming phases. Not only is that going to release more nitric oxide as you're doing your breath pattern, which nitric oxide is going to help to vasodilate those blood vessels. So we're automatically going to kind of open up those blood vessels. But humming is also getting more into that parasympathetic, and it's helping because we start to activate that core, that deep core, and the pelvic floor together in a what we call an eccentric manner onto that pelvic floor area. So it's almost like it's lengthening, but it's working at the same time. So we're putting those muscles on stretch, but also working them at the same time. So again, that's why I love like the humming. Do you want to talk a little bit into nasal breathing?
So what I would always say is just choose one. Box breathing is a great place to start because it just brings awareness as to where you are in that inhale, where you might be in the exhale. Hey, I like that. Where you are in the exhale, and how you can learn to bring more awareness to that throughout the day. Because really, awareness is only one thing. It's when we start taking action on it throughout the day that we're going to significantly start to shift where our system is sitting in general. So can I explain a few things that Brian might talk about
Please.
That we might want to? So he dives into a lot and he goes through things quick and he is so well researched on this breath stuff. He talks a lot about parasympathetic, sympathetic. So we went over that quite a bit. One thing he mentions a lot is anaerobic versus aerobic. And he'll say, when we breathe this way, we're so much more anaerobic. When we breathe this way, we're so much more aerobic. You know, if you're into fitness, that might make a little more sense, anaerobic versus aerobic training. But basically what that means, anaerobic means without oxygen or without air. Aerobic means air or with air. So when we're doing aerobic metabolism or when we're making energy aerobically, that means we're using oxygen and creating less CO2, you know, on the exhale. When we're starting to work anaerobically, that means that we switch systems and we're not using as much oxygen ratio-wise, and we're burning the quick energy that our muscles have in it called glycogen, which is generally made by carbs, or that's what carbs are made into and put in the muscle. So aerobic is more of the slow nasal breathing, and then we're burning more fat ratio-wise, and we're getting into that oxidative state where we're using all that oxygen and creating less CO2 than oxygen that we're taking in. And then anaerobic means we're burning more, and we're creating more CO2 than we can get rid of. So
hopefully now you're feeling more relaxed, right? You tried some of our tips that we talked about. Now, if you want to learn more about the breath, please go listen to episode 151. We brought on the expert himself, Brian McKenzie. So if you haven't listened to that one, go back, tune in, because Brian is full of so much knowledge, truly doing the research in this area right now. Now, of course, if you haven't subscribed, I highly recommend doing that too, because we have incredible experts like Brian McKenzie who have been on the podcast and dropped and shared so much knowledge. And of course, leaving us a little rate and review makes our heart so happy because it helps to spread this word and continue the education.